It's The Current's Music News, the daily podcast where we tell you what you need to know about what's going on in the music world. Happy Halloween. It's October 31st. I'm Jay Gabler.
And I'm Jade. And we've got a unique tour for Pink Floyd fans to check out. And we're going to go deep on Pink Floyd.
We are also going to talk about 2000s nostalgia. What does it mean? Well, Drake thinks he's figured it out because he themed his whole birthday party around it. But first, let's talk about a few of today's headlines. A skyscraper in North Carolina was cleared out due to a suspicious package that turned out to contain a Journey cassette.
Oh, well, you know, you might want to clear the room for that anyways.
Yeah, it could be suspicious for various reasons, depending on who you're talking to, but it was not a bomb. This happened yesterday morning. The Duke Energy Center was cleared out after mailroom staff flagged a manila envelope that was sent from out of state with a handwritten address. What could it be? Obviously, and you know, the sad thing is we do live in scary times where bombs do arrive in the mail. So best to err on the side of prudence. They cleared out the whole skyscraper. But then when authorities arrived, they opened the envelope and the bomb squad found, we don't know what Journey album, but it wasn't a bomb. Motley Crue bassist Nikki Sixx has the beef of the day, and he's beefing with, no, not another 80s rocker, not another member of the band. He has issues with Texas A&M University, which is using dogs in medical research.
Oh, okay, yeah. So is he a member of PETA, or is this just on his own?
So he's working with PETA. He's sending a letter to the president of Texas A&M, and he's citing a video released by PETA that alleges that dogs being used in medical research are living in painful conditions. So in the letter, Nikki Sixx writes, "These animals are skinny, and their tongues are so swollen they can barely swallow the mush they're fed." Texas A&M University has responded to this with a statement saying the video was misleadingly edited, that animals are not actually being harmed. They're looking into therapies for muscular dystrophy in dogs and humans, and so certain therapies are tested on animals before being tested in humans, and the researchers at Texas A&M say there's really no good substitute for that right now, but they say the animals are not being harmed the way this video suggests they are. Nikki Sixx is sending the letter anyway. Hardy Fox, who's a co-founder of The Residents, has died of brain cancer at age 73. The group said in a statement, quote, "As the group's producer, engineer, as well as collaborator on much of their material, Fox's influence on The Residents was indelible. Despite any formal training, his musicality was nevertheless unique, highly refined, and prolific." But here's the twist. He was a founding member of the group, which started in 1969, but his involvement with the group was not made public until 2015 when he left the group.
Why? Is it because of the giant masks that they all wear, the giant eyeball heads?
Exactly. The yeah. Residents are anonymous. If you're a mm-hmm. member of The Residents, your name is not out there. Your identity is not out there. As you know, Jade, when they play live, they put on these kind of eyeball helmets and top hats, and it's this very like theatrical experience, but it's not about knowing who the members are. But we do now know that Hardy Fox was a co-founder of The Residents, important contributor to this band, which is regarded as multimedia pioneers. I feel like they're the kind of band who have their super, super, super fans, and you know they have super fans, but you probably aren't one of them. So for a sample of what The Residents sound like, here's one of their bigger hits, I think you could say, relatively speaking, Constantinople.
Here I come, Constantinople. Here I come, Constantinople. I am coming, Constantinople.
Fans of Pink Floyd have been able to continue their fandom through the years and experience that live show experience because Pink Floyd members Roger Waters and David Gilmour have been putting on these successful tours based on their Pink Floyd years. But now, with their blessing, Pink Floyd's drummer, Nick Mason, will be putting on his first North American tour performing Pink Floyd songs. But here's the deal. These are going to be songs that you probably haven't seen live in years. It's Nick Mason's Saucerful of Secrets, which Pink Floyd fans out there will probably recognize as the name of the band's second album that came out back in 1968. But this tour, it's going to feature frequent Floyd touring bassist Guy Pratt, Spandau Ballet guitarist Gary Kemp, guitarist Lee Harris, and keyboardist Dom Becken. So we wanted to go deep on Pink Floyd here, and especially this Syd Barrett era, kind of the early years of the band. This is all pre-Dark Side of the Moon. So we asked one of our colleagues here at Minnesota Public Radio, Dan Nass. He is a person who goes very deep on Pink Floyd. Dan, welcome to the Current Music News Podcast.
Thank you so much.
So can you tell us a little bit about your history with Pink Floyd?
Sure. So I came into loving Pink Floyd kind of late in life. And I first dug into the stuff that everyone knows, Dark Side of the Moon, Wish You Were Here. And from there, I went backwards and started getting into more of the Syd Barrett, more psychedelic era of Pink Floyd. And eventually, when I was in grad school, I wrote my dissertation on Syd Barrett. I took Syd Barrett lyrics and reset them for tenor and chamber orchestra. And then I wrote a little analysis piece on Syd and his work.
So tell us a little about this era of Pink Floyd, because a lot of people know the big albums, Pink Floyd, The Wall. They don't know too much about what Pink Floyd did before this sort of megastar era.
Sure. Well, some of the things that I really like about the Syd Barrett era, there is a lot of Lewis Carroll, Edward Lear type lyrics, a lot more British whimsy. In particular, if you think about a song like Bike, he's singing about his bike, and then he sings about a mouse named Gerald, and it's just very kind of lighthearted with a little bit of LSD influence, but it's a lot more fun than I would say later Pink Floyd is.
I've got a bike, you can ride it if you like. It's got a basket, a bell, and rims and things to make it look good.
And to just clarify for people who might not be familiar, Syd Barrett was the first singer of Pink Floyd.
Correct.
And Syd Barrett is no longer with us.
Yeah, he left the band in April of 1968 because he was having some health problems, some mental health issues that he had to deal with. And so then Roger Waters kind of took over, and then the band became pretty huge.
One thing I would say about this early era, you'll hear a lot of unpredictability, like chromatic elements, a lot of the rhyming schemes that they used. And I think that's what part of what makes it really fun to listen to.
So this isn't like Pink Floyd paying their dues as like a bar band.
Correct. Correct.
This is very complex stuff. And so I can see where if you're a big fan of this era, you've not heard the big touring version of Pink Floyd that was out in recent years play any of this stuff, nor is this stuff that Roger Waters is likely going to dip into or David Gilmour. And so to hear that Nick Mason is coming up and is going to be playing this material live, you are ready to really sink in, I imagine.
Right, right.
Why is this happening now? Nick Mason said that he was working on this museum exhibit called Pink Floyd, Their Mortal Remains. And he said, I really enjoyed working on it, but at the end, I felt like a national monument, that it was all about this ancient history. And he wanted to make it alive again. So he wanted to bring it on tour. And so he's going to be bringing it through North America, starting March 12th in Vancouver and ending in Washington, D.C. on April 22nd.
Thanks for joining us, Dan.
Absolutely. Thank you.
Let's hear one more song from that era. Here's a little bit of Arnold Lane.
Arnold Lane. Arnold Lane. Arnold Lane.
So, Jade, when you think of 2000s nostalgia, and what do you even call it? The aughts?
I always call it the aughts. Yeah, aughts nostalgia, and especially early aughts. I'm thinking a lot of velour jumpsuits suddenly, things with sparkles on them. I just remember like J-Lo is popping into my mind very clearly.
I think of working out on the treadmill with my OG iPod, which was a hard drive iPod. So you had to like just like set it on the little shelf. You couldn't hold it in your hand because otherwise the hard drive would skip and you wouldn't get to hear Lady Marmalade in all its glory. Anyway, that's what we think when we think of the 2000s. What Drake thinks of when he thinks of the 2000s, we just discovered because he just had a 2000s-themed birthday party full of all sorts of nostalgia for that first decade of the century.
Ooh, okay. Now I'm excited. What do you have? What do you do?
Drake himself wore two different outfits, and images and videos from this party are viral content for the day. So Drake dressed as Fabolous, the rapper who broke out with his 2001 album, Ghetto Fabolous. Also Drake dressed as Puff Daddy, who of course by 2001 had become
P. Diddy.
Indeed. This being Drake, Sean Combs did make an appearance.
Of course
at
he
the
did.
Party. Yeah. So there's a photo of Drake next to Puff Daddy / P. Diddy. Whatever you want to call him, he's there. So other props that were in place at this party, there was a whole wall of Blockbuster video shelves to serve as a photo booth. Also, there was a whole area dedicated to Pimp My Ride. Yes. And the must-have accessory at this party was a flip phone. Well, happy birthday, Drake. Hope you enjoyed your celebration. We certainly did. Here's a bit of Drake's song, Ratchet, Happy Birthday.
It's your birthday.
Well, that's today's music news. You can see more images from that party and read more about all these stories over at thecurrent.org. I'm Jay Gabler.
And I'm Jade. And thank you once again to our guest today, Dan Nass.
Our producer is Cecilia Johnson. If you're enjoying what you hear, please rate and review us wherever you get your podcasts. We'll be back tomorrow with more music news headlines.
On your worst day, you talk so tough. I know.